The reading this morning is taken from Psalm 23 that can be found on page 555, as you can see. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God indeed. Harriet, thank you so much for reading for us. And isn't Psalm 23 wonderful? We've been in the Psalms this summer, picking up, I think it was Psalm 18 we started with, and we're in Psalm 23 this Sunday, this summer. And Psalm 23 is really wonderful. And for me, I've got an emotional connection with Psalm 23. I remember being 11 years old. Any of our second, yeah, we got, not quite, 12? 10? 12 last week, sorry. It's a week late, the sermon, Finn. But I was 11 years old. I was sitting at my granddad's deathbed. And my mum said to me, "Johnny, this might be the last thing you say to him, so why don't you read him something from the Bible?" He had this little, well, very worn black Bible, so I picked it up. I had no idea what to read. I don't think I've ever read an adult Bible before. So I just flicked it open, and you guessed it. Where did it land? Psalm 23. I read that to him, and that was the last thing I ever said to him. And you too, I'm sure many of us, have emotional connections with Psalm 23 for all sorts of reasons. Be a funeral, you've heard it read. It's helped you through a troubled time. The songs that have been based off it have meant a lot to you. I'm sure there's some emotional connections that we all feel with Psalm 23. And the reason we love it, why it's so familiar, why we connect with it so much, is that it is a psalm of comfort, a psalm of comfort. Every line in the psalm is a comfort. And so the question that we spend our time thinking about now is, do I want to hear God's comfort this morning? Now, I'm sure some of us are ready. We're in the zone. We want to hear comfort. We're desperate for it. But others of us might be battling against that. I don't want to hear it. I can't go there right now. It's too exposing for me. Well, I'm just struggling to believe God's comfort. I've got it up in my head, but in my heart, I just don't feel it. Or I don't see any need for God's comfort. Johnny, I'm too busy. I've got this and that going on. I can't stop to ponder it. Well, if you're a Christian this morning, this psalm does offer you deep soul comfort. And are you ready to hear it? And if you're not a Christian sitting here this morning, ask yourself, do I want this deep soul comfort that Psalm 23 talks about? And if you get to the end of the sermon and you think, yes, come, let's chat. I'd love to chat with you about it. So let me lead us in a prayer before we head into Psalm 23. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you so much for the chance this morning to gather together, to be your people, to hear Jesus' words to us. And Lord, we pray that they would give us and offer us deep soul comfort this morning, however we're feeling, whatever's been going on with our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, change them, and help us gaze upon the Lord Jesus and love him more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 23, as the title right at the top says, a psalm of David. a psalm written by King David. And he wrote this psalm expressing the comfort that he received from God through the rough and troubled life that he went through, and he really did go through it. We'll be heading back into 2 Samuel this coming term, and we'll see this troubled and difficult life that he went through. And he wrote this expressing the comfort that he's received from God. But like last week, do you remember last week, Psalm 22, if you were here? Psalm 23 is similar. You see, God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired David to write as a prophet, to point beyond what he was going through. This psalm David wrote is all about Jesus. All about Jesus. It's a story, Psalm 23 is, of God's comfort to the man, Jesus. And Jesus experienced God's comfort in his earthly life, especially in his death, his resurrection, and his going home to heaven. Psalm 23, it belongs on Jesus' lips. He's the singer of Psalm 23. But then we come along and we read this morning. We put our trust in Jesus. Jesus becomes our brother. We become his brothers and sisters, and Jesus shares his comfort of Psalm 23 with us. He gives it to us. He says, Christian, receive God's comfort. Take it. Enjoy it. It's yours. But what is this deep soul comfort that Jesus offers us this morning? Well, it's this, that Jesus gives you all you need as he leads you to heaven. Jesus gives you all you need as he leads you to heaven. Or verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, you might hear the word shepherd, and we heard it earlier, and in your mind, you remember Jesus' words, I am the good shepherd, and you're right to make those connections. Jesus says, the shepherd in Psalm 23, that's me. So a Christian says, Jesus is my shepherd. And it's amazing that Jesus would stoop so low to be our shepherd. See, a shepherd, it was the most lowly, demanding job out there. But it's also amazing that Jesus isn't some kind of abstract shepherd over there. No, for those of us who know that Jesus has laid down his life for us, for those of us who trust in Jesus, we can say Jesus is my shepherd, your shepherd. It's intimate. It is deeply personal, the psalm from Jesus to you. And we are like his sheep, thinking about that earlier, helpless on our own, lost on our own. But we now can say verse 1, and this is totally astounding, I lack nothing. Jesus gives you all you need. Now, on the screen behind me, there's a picture of a band. Shout it out. Who is the band? You Too. Well done. That's right. And one of their greatest hits is I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. People a fan of that song? Oh, not so much from our head musician. It is a great song. But it is so true, isn't it? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It is a story of so many in the world around us. I mean, it was probably my story. It described me pretty well before I became a Christian. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We're trying to win, trying to achieve, trying to have it all, but it's never enough, is it? We're still searching, left searching, wanting more and more. We still haven't found it. But that is not the Christian story. Isn't that great? You see, a Christian says to Jesus, you are my shepherd, so I lack absolutely nothing. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus gives us all our desires. That would be a disastrous thing, I think. And sure, Christians lack a lot of things. We lack good physical and mental health, the financial resources that we might want, the pension we were promised, the home we dreamt of, the career we were hoping for. We lack the relationships that we might desire. We lack things. But Jesus promises us that he'll give us all we need. You'll lack nothing you need as he takes you through this life, as he takes you through death, through the grave, and to be with him forever. You see, and the rest of the psalm, it helps us see what a complete shepherd Jesus is to us. The rest of the psalm shows us that Jesus gives you all you need as he leads you to heaven. And we're going to see all those things in four different ways this morning. So firstly, Jesus feeds your soul. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So a sheep lying down in a lush green meadow, you can picture the scene. Well, that is a happy sheep, isn't it? That's a sheep that's got loads to eat, a whole green field to munch on. And a sheep that's being led quietly to a kind of quietly flowing stream. Well, that's a happy sheep again, because it's a sheep that's got loads to drink. And that lovely image of a sheep that you've got in your mind now is explained to us in the next line. He, Jesus, refreshes my soul. These happy sheep, well, they're a picture of how tenderly Jesus feeds our souls, our hearts. We're like happy sheep, enjoying his goodness and his love that pursues us when he feeds us spiritually. And what a comfort that is. So every sermon, every life group study and discussion, every Christian conversation, speaking the truth in love, every time of sung worship, every family Bible time and prayer time, every devotional time, they are all moments of green pastures, all moments of quiet waters. A moment when Jesus is refreshing your soul. So as we think about those moments, let's not battle against them. Let's not be cynical or overly critical or passive or entitled in those moments when Jesus is feeding our soul. Instead, let's embrace those moments, because they're moments of you lying down in green pastures and sitting there beside a quiet water. A moment when Jesus, your shepherd, is refreshing your soul, feeding your soul. Secondly, Jesus, our shepherd, it means that Jesus guides you how to live. Verse 3. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So back to the sheep. So a sheep that is led along the wrong path or led down a dead end, that is an unhappy sheep, very much so. It wants to get to that next green pasture ASAP, and it's not going to get there. A sheep that follows a shepherd that takes a wrong turn is not a happy sheep. It wants to enjoy eating and drinking again. And Jesus, our good shepherd, guides us, leads us. Not down the wrong path, but on the right path. His path of righteousness, of living the right way, of living God's way. And what a comfort that is. That's the way Jesus leads us. And you might remember a time when Jesus used someone in your life, maybe by their words or by their example, their living, that helped you sort of head off that wrong path you might have been heading down and head back on to God's path, to the right way of living, his way of living. And that's an example of a time that Jesus was shepherding you through that person, what they said or what they did that helped you get back on to God's path, the path of righteousness. And that might, you might have kind of remembered that from a time gone by, but it might also be happening now. It might be a conversation you've had recently with someone and it's sort of bugging you to think, yeah, maybe I am going down the wrong path a little bit. And in that area of my life, I want to go back on to God's path. Jesus is guiding you how to live. And thirdly, Jesus protects you through darkness and death. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So a sheep is led through the valley is still a fearful sheep. A sheep that's walking down this valley path is a fearful sheep. Why? Because it knows the sort of airlessness, the cold, the deep, inky black darkness which is the path that the sheep is on. A sheep who knows, who hides in the rocks, in the crags of this valley, is a scared sheep because it knows it's about to be torn to pieces by wild animals. It knows this valley of death, and so the sheep is scared, is fearful. And we know that our Christian experience is not always green pastures, not often even. At times, we know the dark valley all too well. We know the darkest valley, and we know the valley of the shadow of death. That sort of describes things better for us and our Christian lives, maybe. We feel like the end of Psalm 88 that says, darkness is my closest friend. So for some of us, the darkest valley is where we're in right now. For others, it will come in time. But for all of us, the valley of the shadow of death will be something we all experience at the end of our lives. And the great problem while we're in the valley of darkness, deep darkness, or the valley of the shadow of death, is fear. Is God still in control? Is God still powerful? Is he still for me? Will I be torn to shreds? And the great answer that we could possibly hope to hear while we're in the valley is Jesus saying to you and saying to me, I'm with you. Or in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus says to you, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus says, I'm in front of you and I'm behind you in this valley. I'm there with my staff. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. And I'm beside you, either side of you, with my rod. There I am, protecting you from anything that comes to attack you, maybe like those wild animals or anything else. I'm there to protect you with my rod. In the valley, we can say to Jesus, our shepherd, you are with me. And in Jesus' own life and his death, he experienced the valley of the shadow of death. Especially there, as he hung on the cross for us, he experienced the full darkness of the valley of the shadow of death. He's walked where you are walking. He's walked where you one day will walk. And in his resurrection, he's walked through the valley. He's come out the other side of the valley. And so now by his Spirit, he is with us, really present with us through the valley. And it's that word through that has niggled at me all week. That word through, which I think is mind-blowing and totally comforting. Through. So it isn't that we're in the valley and we stay there. That's our kind of home. No, we are coming out again. We are going through the valley to somewhere else. And it's not like God is some taxi driver who picks us up and drops us off in the valley of the shadow of death, leaving us there alone. No, he doesn't leave us. He's there with us through it. And it isn't like we're all alone until he comes and picks us up again. Once we kind of figure our way out of it, figure out enough to kind of hail down the God taxi, then he'll come and take us away. And then he's present with us once we've figured ourselves out of the valley. No, he is present with us in and through the valley, all the way out. You see, that word through is so comforting. And is that word a word that you need to hear and think about this morning? I was chatting to someone recently who was having a really rough time of things. They wouldn't describe it like this, but they were in a deep, dark valley. And what they said to me is, I want to figure out some stuff first. Let me reconnect with God and church after I figured out this, my valley. Once I get out of it, then I'll connect with God again. Once out the valley, then God will feel near again. And isn't that so sad? Because it is precisely in their darkest valley that God is experienced even more so as present and protector and shepherd. So if you are in the valley now, Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus is protecting you with his presence through and with you in the valley, and with you even through death. And what a comfort that is. And lastly, fourthly, Jesus brings you to his banquet of blessing. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Kind of the tune has changed a little bit, isn't it? And where does Jesus bring us? Well, to his home. To dwell in the house of the Lord, to live with our good shepherd, with Jesus for eternity. And it's Jesus that is the greatest joy of heaven. And it's Jesus that brings us there to be with him in his home forever. And what would it look like? Well, if you've ever been a VIP, a kind of honored special guest somewhere, then you'll know that it feels good, doesn't it? You feel honored. You feel cared for by the host. And Jesus is our host. We, his children, are his special, deeply cared for guests. And he lays on for us, this wonderful host, a banquet of blessing for us to enjoy. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Jesus rolls out the red carpet for you. He lays on a lavish feast for you to enjoy for all eternity. He celebrates his victory over enemies, winning us back into his warm embrace. Jesus gives you this extravagant banquet to enjoy, full of good things, full of super abundant blessing and joy. So our cups at that banquet, they're not just full to the brim, they're overflowing. And add to that our plates, they're not just full of a few nice things, they're piled high of spiritually good things to enjoy. And there at this banquet of blessing, we'll feast on God's goodness to us. We'll feast on his love. We'll feast on his mercy. We'll feast on those things that pursue us, that follow us, that will never leave us for all eternity. Jesus brings you, if you're his child, into his banquet of blessing forever. So Jesus is our shepherd, and he gives us all that we need as he leads us to heaven. He feeds you. He guides you. He protects you. And he brings you to his home. What a comfort Psalm 23 is. And so as we close, if you're sitting here thinking, it sounds comforting, but I'm still not getting it, you still feel like you're battling against God's blessing in some way, well, here's just an idea. Take it or leave it. But why not ask someone that you love to read Psalm 23 to you? But change a couple of things. Change any time you read me or my or I, and change it to that person's name. And then change every time you read he or his or you. Change that to Jesus. And then read Psalm 23 like that. This week, I found that a powerful thing to do. It makes it even more real for my own soul. Why not give it a go? It might just help grasp a little bit more the amazing comfort that Jesus, our shepherd, offers us as he gives you all you need, as he leads you to heaven. What a comfort. Let me pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Our Father, we thank you that we can call you Father because you sent your Son to be our shepherd who laid down his life for us, his sheep. And thank you now as his children, as his adopted sons and daughters, we can say we lack nothing, that you give us everything we need as you lead us into your home in heaven. And Lord, please remind us, those of us who especially need to remember and be impressed on our hearts, that Jesus feeds us, that Jesus guides us, that he protects us, and he brings us home to heaven. Please comfort us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.